Nande Rupasa Nata Nauraguya Go Sri Jiva Gopalako Vande Rupasa Nata Nauraguya Go Sri Jiva Gopalako Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipano Sat Dharma Sangstapako Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipano Sat Dharma Sangstapako Lokanang Hita Karinau Tribhuvane Manyo Sharanyakaro Lokanang Hita Karinau Tribhuvane Manyo Sharanyakaro Radha Krishna Padaravinda Vajana Nandena Machaliko Radha Krishna Padaravinda Vajana Nandena Machaliko Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuya Go Sri Jiva Gopalako
I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, namely Sri Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds and are worth taking shelter of, because the six Goswamis are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha Krishna. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine. The Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 4. Devotional Service Surpasses All Liberation. How much a devotee is seriously attached to the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be understood from the statement of the Adiraj Maharaj Prithu, which is described in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. My dear Lord, if after taking liberation I have no chance of hearing the glories of your Lordship, glories which are chanted by pure devotees from the core of their hearts in praise of your lotus feet, and if I have no chance for this honey of transcendental bliss, then I shall never ask for liberation or this so-called spiritual emancipation. For I shall simply always pray unto your Lordship that you may give me millions of tongues and you give me millions of ears so that I may constantly chant and hear of your transcendental glories. the impersonalist desire to merge into the existence of the Supreme. But without keeping their individuality, they have no chance of hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord. And because they have no idea of the transcendental form of the Supreme Lord, there is no chance of their chanting and hearing of Krishna's transcendental activities. In other words, unless one is already beyond liberation, one cannot relish the transcendental glories of the Lord, nor can one understand the transcendental form of the Lord. A similar statement is also found in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, wherein Shukadeva Goswami addresses Parikshit Maharaj. The great soul, King Bharat, was so much attached to the service of the lotus feet of Krishna that he very easily gave up lordship over this earthly planet, as well as his affection for his children, society, friends, royal opulence, and beautiful wife. King Bharat was so very lucky that the goddess of fortune herself was pleased to offer King Bharat all kinds of material concessions. But King Bharat never accepted any of these material opulences. Shukadeva Goswami praises this behavior of King Bharata very highly, for he says, "Any person whose heart is attracted by the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as Madhusudana, does not care even for that liberation which is aspired to by many great sages, what to speak of material opulences." Also, in the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a similar statement by Vitra Asura, who addresses the Lord as follows: "My dear Lord, by leaving your transcendental service, I may be promoted to the planet known as Dhruvaloka, the pole star, or I may gain lordship over all the planetary systems of the universe. But I do not aspire for this, nor do I wish the mystic perfections of yoga practice, nor do I aspire for spiritual emancipation. All I wish for, my Lord, is your association and transcendental service eternally." And there is this statement, confirmed by Lord Shiva in Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, wherein Lord Shiva addresses Sati as follows: "Narayana parasarve na kutaschanna vidyati svarga pavarga narakeshu api tulyarta darshinaha." O my dear wife Sati, persons who are devoted to Narayan are not afraid of anything. If they are elevated to the higher planetary systems, or if they get liberation from material contamination, or if they are pushed down to the hellish condition of life, or in fact, whatever situation they are in, they are not afraid of anything. Simply because they have taken shelter of the lotus feet of Narayana, for them, any position in the material world is as good as another. There is also a similar statement by Indra, the King of Heaven, found in the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where he addresses Mother Diti: "Aradhanam Bhagavata ihamana nirashisha yetu nechchanti api param te swarta kushala smrita." My dear mother, persons who have given up all kinds of desire and who are simply engaged in devotional service to the Lord. They know what is actually their self-interest. Such persons are actually serving their self-interest and are considered first-class experts in the matter of advancing to the perfectional stage of life. In the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Maharaj Prahlad says, O my dear friends born into atheistic families, if you can please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, then there is nothing more rare in this world. In other words, if the Supreme Lord Krishna is pleased with you, then any desire you may have within the core of your heart can be fulfilled without any doubt. As such, what is the use of elevating yourself by the results of fruitive activities which are automatically achieved in all events by the modes of material nature? And what is the use for you of spiritual emancipation or liberation from material bondage? For if you are always engaged in chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord, and if you are always relishing the nectar of the lotus feet of the Lord, then there is no necessity for any of these. By the statement of Prahlad Maharaj, it is clearly understood that one who takes pleasure in chanting and hearing the transcendental glories of the Lord has already surpassed all kinds of material benedictions, including the results of pious fruitive activities, sacrifice, and even liberation from material bondage. And so similarly, in the same seventh canto, eighth chapter, when the demigods are offering prayers to Lord Nrsimha, Indradev, the King of Heaven, prays, O Supreme One, these demons talk of our share of participation in the performances of ritualistic sacrifices, but simply by your appearance as Lord Nrsimha, you have saved us from terrible fears. Actually, our shares in the sacrificial performances are due to you only, because you are the supreme enjoyer of all sacrifices. You are the supersoul of every living entity, and therefore you are the actual owner of everything. Long it was our hearts were always filled with fear because of this demon Hiranyakashipu. But you are so kind towards us that by killing this demon, you have removed that fear from within our hearts and have given us the chance to place your lordship within our hearts once again. For persons who are engaged in the transcendental loving service of your lordship, all the opulences which were taken away from us by the demons are counted as nothing. For the devotees do not care even for liberation, what to speak of these material opulences. Actually, we demigods are not the enjoyers of the fruits of sacrifice. Our only duty is to always be engaged in your service, for you are the enjoyer of everything. And so the purport of this statement by Indradev is that beginning from Lord Brahma down to the insignificant ant, no living entity is meant for enjoying material opulences. They are simply meant for offering everything to the Supreme Proprietor, the Personality of Godhead. And by doing so, automatically they enjoy the benefit. The example can be cited again of the different parts of the body collecting foodstuffs and then cooking them so that ultimately a meal may be offered to the stomach. After the food has gone to the stomach, all the parts of the body equally enjoy the benefit of the meal. And so similarly, everyone's duty is to satisfy the Supreme Lord, and then automatically everyone will become satisfied. A similar verse is found in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Gajendra prays, My dear Lord, I have no experience of the transcendental bliss derived from your devotional service. So therefore I have asked from you some favor. But I know that persons who are pure devotees and have, by serving the lotus feet of great souls, they have become freed from all material desires and are thus always merged in the ocean of transcendental bliss. And as such, they are always satisfied simply by glorifying your auspicious characteristics. And so for them, there is nothing else to aspire or pray for. In the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord of Vaikuntha replies to Durvasa Muni, Matsevaya pratitangte salokyadi chatushtayam nechchanti sevaya purna kutonyat kala viplutam. O Durvasa, my pure devotees are always satisfied being engaged in devotional service, and therefore they do not aspire even after the 5 liberated stages, which are 1. To be one with me. 2. To achieve residence on my planet. 3. To have my opulences. 4. To possess bodily features similar to mine. And finally, to gain my personal association. So when they are not interested even in these liberated positions, you can know how little they care for material opulences or material liberation. And there is a similar prayer by the Nagapatnis, the wives of the Kaliya serpent, which is found in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Dear Lord, the dust of your lotus feet is very wonderful. Any person who is fortunate enough to achieve this dust does not care for the heavenly planets, does not care for lordship over all the planetary systems, does not care for the mystic perfections of yoga, and does not care for liberation from material existence. In other words, anyone who adores the dust of your lotus feet does not care a fig for all other perfectional stages. There is a similar statement in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the chapter where the Shrutis, or personified Vedas, pray to the Lord. Dear Lord, it is very difficult to understand spiritual knowledge. Your appearance here, just as you are, is to explain to us this most difficult subject of the knowledge of spirit. As such, your devotees who have left their domestic comforts in order to associate with the liberated Acharya teachers are now fully merged in the devotional service of your lordship, and thus they do not care for any so-called liberation. In explaining this verse, it should be noted that our spiritual knowledge means understanding the self and the super self or super soul. The individual soul and the super soul are qualitatively one, and therefore both of them are known as Brahman or spirit. But knowledge of Brahman is very difficult to understand. There are so many philosophers engaged in the matter of understanding the soul, but they are unable to make any tangible advancement. It is thus confirmed in Krishna's Bhagavad Gita. Manushyanam sahasresyu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mang veti tatvata. There Krishna says that out of many millions of persons, only one may try to understand what is spiritual knowledge. And out of many such persons who are trying to understand, only one or a few may actually know what is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so this verse says that spiritual knowledge is very difficult to achieve. And so, in order to make it more easily attainable, the Supreme Lord Himself comes in His original form as Sri Krishna and gives His instruction directly to an associate like Arjuna, just so that the people in general may take advantage of this spiritual knowledge. This above verse by the Shrutis also explains that liberation means completely giving up all the material comforts of life. Those who are impersonalists are simply satisfied being liberated from the material circumstance. But those who are devotees can automatically give up material life and also enjoy the transcendental bliss of hearing and chanting the wonderful activities of Lord Krishna. Therefore, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna says to Uddhava, Na kinchit sadavo dhira bhaktahi akantino mama vanchanti api maya datam kaivalyam apurna bhavam. Oh, my dear Uddhava, the devotees who have completely taken shelter of my service are so steadfast in devotional service that they have no other desire. Even if they are offered the four kinds of spiritual opulences, they will refuse to accept them. So what to speak of their desiring anything within the material world? And similarly, Lord Krishna says in another passage in the Uddhava Gita, My dear Uddhava, a person whose consciousness is completely absorbed in my thought and activities does not aspire even to occupy the post of Lord Brahma or the post of Indradev, or the post of lordship over the planets, or the eight kinds of mystic perfections, or even liberation itself. And we find in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Lord Shiva says to his wife, Naivechati ashishya kvapi Brahmashir moksham api uta Bhaktin parang bhagavati labdavan purushe vyaye. My dear Devi, this great Brahmana sage Markandeya has attained unflinching faith and devotion unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and as such Markandeya does not aspire after any benediction, including liberation, from this material world. Similarly, there is a statement in the Padma Purana describing the ritualistic function during the month of Kartik. During this month, especially in Vrindavan, it is the regulative principle to daily pray to Lord Krishna in his form as Damodara. This Damodara form refers to Krishna in his childhood, when Krishna was tied up with rope by his mother Yashoda. Dama means rope, and Udara means abdomen. So Mother Yashoda, being very disturbed by naughty Krishna, bound him around the abdomen with a rope, and thus Krishna is named Damodar. So during the month of Kartik, Damodar is prayed to as follows. Varandeva mokshanna mokshavadhinva Nachanyan dinehang vareshadakiha Nityam deva purnatha gopalabalam Sadame manasyavi rastam kimanyai Varang deva moksham na mokshavadhingva Na chanyan vrinneham vareshada piha Idang deva purnata gopala balam Sadame manasyavi rastam himanya My dear Lord, you are the Lord of all. You are the giver of all benedictions. There are many demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva who sometimes offer benedictions to their respective devotees. For example, Ravana was blessed with many benedictions by Lord Shiva, and Hiranyakashipu was blessed by Lord Brahma. But even Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma depend upon the benedictions of Lord Krishna, and therefore Krishna is addressed as the Lord of all benedictions. As such, Lord Krishna can offer his devotees anything they want, but still the devotee's prayer continues. My Lord, I do not ask for you for liberation or any material facility up to the point of liberation. For what I want as your favor is that I may always think of your form in which I see you now as Damodara. You are so beautiful and attractive that my mind does not want anything besides this wonderful form. In this same prayer, there is another passage in which it is said, Kuveratma jo badha murtyai vayadvat Tvaya mochitao bhakti bhajao kritao cha Tata prema bhakti srakangme prayatcha Namokshe grahamesti damodareha Kuveratma jo badha murtyai vayadva Tvaya mochitao bhakti bhaja vritao cha Tata prema bhakti sukang me prayaccha Namokshe grahamesti Damodareha. Oh, my dear Lord Damodar, once you were playing as a naughty boy in the house of Nanda Maharaj, and you broke the box containing yogurt. And because of that, Mother Yashoda considered you an offender and tied you with a rope to the household grinding mortar. But at that same time, you delivered the two sons of Kuvera, Nalakuvara and Manigriva, who were staying there as two Arjuna trees in the yard of Nanda Maharaj. So my only request is that by your merciful pastimes, you may similarly deliver me. The story behind this verse is that the two sons of Kuvera, who is the treasurer of the demigods, were puffed up on account of the opulence of their father. And so once on the heavenly planet, they were enjoying themselves in a lake with some naked damsels of heaven. And at that time, the great Saint Narada Muni was passing on the road, and he was very sorry to see the behavior of these two sons of Kuvera. Seeing Narada passing by, the damsels of heaven covered their bodies with cloth. But the two sons, being drunkards, did not have this decency. Narada became angry with their behavior and cursed them. "You have no sense. So it is better if you become trees instead of the sons of Kuvera." Upon hearing this, the boys came to their senses and begged Narada to pardon them for their offenses. So Narada told them, "Yes, you shall become trees, Arjuna trees, and you will stand in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. But Krishna himself will appear in time as the foster son of Nanda, and Krishna will thus deliver you." In other words, the curse of Narada was a benediction to the sons of Kuvera, because indirectly it was foretold that they would be able to receive the favor of Lord Krishna. After that, Kuvera's two sons stood as two big twin Arjuna trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj until Lord Damodar, in order to fulfill the desire of Narada Muni, dragged the grinding mortar to which he was tied and struck in between the two trees, violently causing them to fall down. From out of these fallen trees came Nalakuvara and Manigriva, who had now by then become great devotees of the Lord. And there is a passage in the Hayashirsha Pancharatra which states, "My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, I do not want any resultant benediction from my religious life, nor do I want any economic development, nor do I want to enjoy sense gratification, and neither liberation. I simply pray to be an eternal servant at your lotus feet. So kindly oblige me and give me this benediction." And in the same Hayashirsha Pancharatra, after Nrisingadev wanted to give benedictions to Prahlad Maharaj, Prahlad did not accept any material benediction and simply asked the favor of the Lord to remain his eternal devotee. In this connection, Prahlad cited the example of Hanuman, the eternal servitor of Lord Ramachandra, who also set an example by never asking any material favor from the Lord. Hanuman always remained engaged in the Lord's service. So this is the ideal character of Hanuman, for which he is still worshipped by all devotees. And so Prahlad Maharaj also offered his respectful obeisances unto Hanuman. And there is a well-known verse spoken by Hanuman in which he says, My dear Lord, if you like, you can give me salvation from this material existence, or you can give me the privilege of merging into your existence. But I do not wish any of these things. I do not want anything which diminishes my relationship with you as servant to master, even after liberation. In a similar passage, in the Narada Pantaratra, it is stated, My dear Lord, I do not wish any perfectional stage by performing the ritualistic religious ceremonies, or by economic development, or by sense gratification or liberation. For I simply pray that you grant me the favor of keeping me under your lotus feet. I do not wish any kind of liberation, such as Salokya, to reside on your planet, or Sarupya, to have the same bodily features as you. For I simply pray for your favor, that I may always be engaged in your loving service. We see similarly in the sixth canto, Maharaj Parikshit inquires from Shukadeva Goswami, My dear Brahmana, I can understand that the demon Vritra Asura was a greatly sinful person, and his mentality was completely absorbed in the modes of passion and ignorance. So, how did he develop such a perfectional stage of devotional service to Lord Narayana? Oh, I have heard that even great persons who have undergone severe austerities and who are liberated with full knowledge must still strive to become devotees of the Lord. And so it is to be understood that such persons are very rare and almost never to be seen. So I am astonished that Vritra Asura became such a devotee. So, in all of these above verses, the most important thing to be noted is that there may be many liberated persons who have merged into the existence of the impersonal Brahman, but a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan is very, very rare. Even out of millions of such liberated persons, only one is fortunate enough to become a devotee. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 8th Chapter, Queen Kunti prays to Lord Krishna at the time of his departure from Hastinapur. Tata paramahansanam muninam amalatmanam bhakti yoga vidhanartham katang pashyema hi striya. Oh, my dear Krishna, you are so great that you are inconceivable even to the great stalwart scholars and paramahansas, or fully liberated souls. So if such great sages, who are transcendental to all reactions of material existence, if they are unable to know you, then as far as I am concerned, belonging to the less intelligent woman class, how is it possible for us to know your glories? How can I understand you? In this verse, the particular thing to be noted is that the personality of Godhead is not to be understood by the great liberated persons, but only by devotees such as Queen Kunti in her humbleness. Although she was a woman, and was thus considered less intelligent than a man, still she was able to realize the glories of Krishna. That is the purport to this verse. Another passage, which is very important, found in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, is called the famous Atmarama verse. Atmaramascha munayo nirgranta api rukrame kurvantya haktikin bhaktin itam bhuta guno hari. Even those who are completely liberated from material contamination are also attracted by the transcendental qualities of Lord Krishna. The purport of this verse is that a liberated soul has absolutely no desire at all for material enjoyment. A liberated soul is wholly freed from all kinds of material desires, and yet, still, one is irresistibly attracted by the desire to hear and understand the pastimes of Lord Krishna. We may therefore conclude that the glories and pastimes of Lord Krishna are not material. Otherwise, how could the liberated persons known as the Atmaramas be attracted by such pastimes? That is the important point in this verse. And so, from the above statement it is found that a devotee is not after any of the five stages of liberation. And the five stages of liberation already explained: number one, to become one with the Lord, to live on the same planet as the Lord, to attain the same bodily features as the Lord, to have the same opulence as the Lord, to have constant association with the Lord. Out of these five liberated stages, the one which is known as Sayujya, merging into the existence of the Lord, is the very last to be accepted by a devotee. The other four liberations are not desired by devotees. Still, they are not against the devotional ideals. Some of the liberated persons who have achieved these four stages of liberation may also develop affection for Krishna and be promoted to the Goloka Vrindavan planet in the spiritual sky. Again, some of the liberated persons who have achieved these four stages of liberation may also develop affection for Krishna and be promoted to the Goloka Vrindavan planet in the spiritual sky. In other words, those who are already promoted to the Vaikuntha planets and who possess the four kinds of liberation may also sometimes develop affection for Krishna and be promoted to Krishna Loka. Again, in other words, those who are already promoted to the Vaikuntha planets and who possess the four kinds of liberation may also sometimes develop affection for Krishna and become promoted to Krishna Loka. So, those who are in the four liberated states may still be going through different stages of existence. In the beginning, they may want the opulences of Krishna, but at the mature stage, the dormant love for Krishna exhibited in Vrindavan becomes prominent in their hearts. As such, the pure devotees never accept the liberation of Sayujya to become one with the Supreme, although sometimes they may accept as favorable the other four liberated states. Out of many kinds of devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the one who is attracted to the original form of the Lord Krishna in Vrindavan is considered to be foremost or the first class devotee. Such a devotee is never attracted by the opulences of Vaikuntha or even of Dwaraka, the royal city where Krishna rules. The conclusion of Srila Rupa Goswami is that the devotees who are attracted by the pastimes of the Lord in Gokula or Vrindavan are the topmost devotees. A devotee who is attached to a particular form of the Lord does not wish to redirect his or her devotion to other forms. For example, Hanuman, the devotee of Lord Ramachandra, knew there is no difference between Lord Ramachandra and Lord Narayan, and yet Hanuman still wanted to render service only to Lord Ramachandra. And that was due to the specific attraction of a particular devotee. There are many, many forms of the Lord, but still Krishna is the original form. Though all of the devotees of the different forms of the Lord are in the same category, still it is said that those who are devotees of Lord Krishna are the topmost in the list of all devotees.
Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jai Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hari Haraye Namaha Hari Haraye Namaha Hari Haraye Namaha Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Gopala Govindaram Sri Madhu Sudana Hari Haraye Namaha Hari Haraye Namaha Hari Haraye Namaha Hari Haraye Namaha
All glories to the ISKCON founder Acharya, my loving spiritual master, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada.